We are headed to Oshkosh to preview EAA Air Venture on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. The annual fly-in and convention is marking a half century, and hundreds of thousands of people are expected during those 7 days when the skies over eastern Wisconsin get jam-packed with planes. Is Air Venture in your summer plans? What do you like about it? Do you go every year? Are you part of the fly-in? What draws you to aviation? There's room for you and your plane. 800-642-1234. Dick Napinski is Communications Director for EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. Dick, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to be here, Kate.
Wow, 50 years, putting on some age, but what is so special about this air show compared to all the ones that happen around the world?
It's interesting that this one is unique. It is a gathering of people and airplanes that you'll see no place else in the world, because it's not only an air show, it's a fly-in convention where people bring their own airplanes here. More than 10,000 airplanes come to the region in northeast Wisconsin, and they fill up Whitman Regional Airport and then many airports in the area, Fond du Lac, Appleton, and so forth. And it really is, I don't know if you'd call it a gathering of the tribes or what exactly, but it is everything in aviation, from the smallest ultralight up to massive airliners and jumbo jets.
So this is really a family reunion for aviation, if you will, because you will see anything and everything here?
That's a great way to put it, because it is the family reunion. We have vintage aircraft. You have the smallest ultralights out there. You have 747s this year and everything in between, and even some things that make you go, what the heck is that? And we have some of those as well. So looking forward to a great week starting next Monday.
Well, you have 747s this year. What's new this year?
Well, some of the things that are new this year, we talked about some of the 747s and such. It's a great anniversary year, because in aviation and space, 1969, 1970 certainly were seminal years. It certainly was for EAA, since we moved to Oshkosh and had our first fly-in here in 1970 after moving from Rockford, Illinois, where we had been for 10 years before that, in Milwaukee back in the 1950s. Mm. But you take a look at aviation, the 747 celebrating its 50th anniversary. It's the 50th anniversary of the Concorde, that supersonic jetliner that was retired a few years back. And, of course, it's the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 mission. There's been a lot of talk about that first moon landing this past week. And when you take a look at all of those things and what's happening at Oshkosh for that, for Air Venture this year, it does make for quite a lineup. And that's just the history side, not looking toward the future side, which we also do.
Well, speaking of Apollo 11, you have Michael Collins, astronaut Michael Collins, coming to the event.
We do. Michael Collins is the command module pilot from Apollo 11, and he will be joining us along with Apollo program astronaut Joe Engel. Interesting story about Joe. He was scheduled to go on Apollo 17, and then NASA decided, well, we're going to send a geologist up instead, so Harrison Schmitt took that flight. And then Apollo 18, 19, and 20 were canceled. And so Joe went on to fly the space shuttle and have a very distinguished career with NASA. But he'll be joining Michael Collins, and they'll be talking about the lead-up, the 400,000 people involved in the Apollo program to make that Apollo 11 mission successful. And, of course, they'll talk about what's the future of exploration in space, not only from the U.S., but worldwide and through private industry as well. And that will be on Friday night, the 26th, at our Theater in the Woods.
And apparently Michael Collins has a special place in his heart for this event, for Air Venture.
He does. Most of the Apollo astronauts have been EAA members for many years. They are pilots, first and foremost. Many of them came through the military or with a lot of civilian test pilot training. And so when they think about a gathering of aircraft, when we've had Apollo astronauts here before, yeah, they'll talk about space, but they'll go down and see, oh, that airplane over there, I want to go look at that, and so on and so forth. So it's a lot of fun to have the astronauts there to talk with as aviators as well as with their astronaut career.
We're talking all things aviation in Oshkosh, gearing up for EAA Air Venture. The annual convention and fly-in starts Monday. Dick Napinski is Communications Director for Air Venture. You can join in. What is your favorite plane? Do you fly in? Have you been going to Oshkosh for this event as a family tradition? Are you a pilot or an aviation enthusiast? what's unique about what happens in Oshkosh? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Dick, AirVenture has some really incredible air shows as well. Can you tell us about them?
Sure. We have 9 air shows over 7 days, and we bring together some of the world's best aerobatic performers from the civilian side as well as the military side. Units such as the F-22 demo team, the A-10 demonstration team will be here, and then some of the top civilian pilots in the world. Many of them are headliners at air shows throughout the country, but they come to Oshkosh and they volunteer their time here for a simple reason. They know they're in front of very big crowds, and for a lot of them, they know that other air shows are represented here. They take a look at it and say, we'd like that person to fly at our air show too. So they know there's a little business side to it all, but the air shows take place in the afternoon from about 2 o'clock until about 6 p.m. And then on July 24th and July 27th, Wednesday and Saturday evening, we have night air shows too. And if people have never seen a night air show, it's something completely different. I always tell folks, it's like when you were a kid and took a sparkler and wrote your name through the air to watch the light trail go by. That's kind of the same thing, except with an airplane with pyrotechnics on the wingtips. And it's something to see. We start right around dusk and go into the evening from 8 until 10. Night air show on those 2 days, truly spectacular.
Yeah, sparklers in the sky. That is absolutely amazing. And for people who are not familiar, AirVenture is a fly-in event. You know, tell us about participants who come with their plane each year.
It really is the gathering and the convention for the Experimental Aircraft Association. Paul Poberesny, our founder, started it back in 1953 in Milwaukee at what's now Timmerman Airport, and had it in conjunction with the Wisconsin Air Pageant. And he said that first year we had 21 airplanes and 150 people. Okay, it's a start. But it grew from there through Milwaukee and then through Rockford. And now it attracts airplanes from all over the world. But primarily, it is a convention of the EAA membership. And we invite the public to join us to see everything in flight. Our members are everything from ultralight pilots all the way to astronauts. And they enjoy seeing things that fly, the innovation, the history, the legacy, the interesting designs that may be part of it are all part of what bring people together, not only for the airplanes, but for each other as well. And often that's why they come back. They meet friends here. They have aviation colleagues here. And in the spring, you always say farewell to somebody, said, will we see you at Oshkosh? And that's something that pilots say throughout the country and look forward to this event each summer.
So those airstrips must be super busy. What is it like to be an air traffic controller for this?
You'd have to ask the air traffic controllers, but I know that they are nominated by their supervisors to work AirVenture each year. There are more than 50 of them, and they are there to staff what becomes the world's busiest airport. To give you some idea, Hartsfield and O'Hare, which are the busiest airports in the world, have an average of about 2,500 aircraft movements a day. That's takeoffs and landings over a 24-hour period. Our peak day here at Oshkosh is 3,300 takeoffs and landings, and that's done in 14 hours because we're closed from 8 p.m. till 6 a.m. So it is an incredibly busy time. We use the main runway, the east-west runway, and then we even use the taxiway on the north-south runway as a runway. So we've got 3 runways going. There are dots on the runway. So with small aircraft on an 8,000-foot runway, you can land one at the end of the runway and one 4,000 feet up, almost a mile away, halfway down the runway. So you have that difference as well. And it's a great piece of choreography that involves new technology and old-style stuff that all comes together to make it happen at Oshkosh.
Dick Nepinski, Communications Director, he is piloting us. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You'll see World War II military aircraft at the EAA AirVenture in Oshkosh. 10 D-Day Squadron aircraft will participate in the largest annual air show in the country. And this year marks the 75th anniversary of the Battle of Normandy and the D-Day landings. You can join in. What do you love about going to Air Venture? What attracts you to aviation? Do you have a favorite aircraft that you'll be checking out during Air Venture? Join in at 800-642-1234. Dick Nepinski is EAA Air Venture Communications Director, and he stays with us. Dick, these military aircraft, really special to the event. Can you tell us about them?
Sure. It's a gathering of warbirds. It's actually the world's largest annual gathering of World War II aircraft. We have more than 300 of them on the flight line. And these are the machines that fought and won the battles during World War II. Everything from C-47 cargo planes to P-51 Mustangs. In fact, this year we're inviting every P-51 in North America here. We hope to have more than 30 of them on the flight line. You have the T-6 trainers. You have everything from P-38s and P-47s, some British airplanes too, such as the Spitfire, which are on the line, and so forth, and some early combat jets. And so it really is kind of the year of the fighter this year as we go from World War II right to modern day with the F-22 and F-35, all showcasing their aerial capabilities.
Are there people next to these planes to give some history and context to what we look at when we walk through and look at these planes?
Very often there are. The owners will be right there. And what we have up in the Warbirds area is something called Warbirds in Review, where we'll bring an aircraft up, a special aircraft, and have the owner there. And if we can, we'll have a World War II veteran there who may have either worked on the airplane or flew the airplane to talk about the experience of doing that and what it's like to maintain and own one of these aircraft, because they are treasures. They're flying pieces of history, and many of them are maintained even better than they were when they originally were in the military. But to take a look at that, for instance, this year, something that is very special, it's a twin Mustang. Toward the end of World War II, America put together the P-51 Mustang, the iconic airplane, but they wanted to make it a long-range escort fighter. And so they took two fuselages, mated them together with a double tail, and made the XP-82. Well, it was quickly outmoded as the jets came into the fore, but there's one of them left flying. It's just been restored. It's made it up here from Oshkosh to Oshkosh from Georgia, and it'll be part of the celebration, part of the displays this coming week.
Well, with that design, you make me think of aircraft designer Bert Rutan. He will be honored. Can you tell us about him as an engineer and aircraft designer?
Bert Rutan probably has one of the most fertile minds we've ever seen in aircraft engineering. He is a man who has designed dozens of aircraft, but the most ones that are known to the public are the Voyager back in 1986, which was the first aircraft to fly around the world nonstop on a single tank of fuel over 9 days.
Wow.
And he also designed Spaceship One, which was the first successful civilian spacecraft to reach non-orbital space back in 2004, and really led to what we see as the burgeoning space tourism industry. Sir Richard Branson took an interest in the design, and this design has become Virgin Galactic and so forth. But Bert Rutan was behind designing that initial Spaceship One. We'll have him here with a number of his aircraft, and they're unique aircraft, too. They have the canard wings up front, the small wings by the nose, very interesting designs that really flipped the civilian aviation world on its ear when they occurred in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And so Bert Rutan's still continuing to design aircraft right now and spacecraft, and he'll be honored during the week.
We're talking with Dick Nepinski, Communications Director for Air Venture, which gets underway Monday, talking all things aviation in Oshkosh. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Dick, the U.S. Forest Service will also be there showing off some aerial firefighting.
Aerial firefighting will be one of the highlights this year. We are collecting aircraft from throughout the country, and we always say hopefully they won't have to go and work, and they can join us for some fun flying here in Oshkosh. But talking about the helicopters, the aircraft that work over the forests, the national forests of our country, and putting out those brush fires, mountain fires, whatever they happen to be. Very specialized aircraft, very specialized set of skills for the pilots as well. And they'll be talking about that, how they use them, flying in those smoke-filled canyons, trying to drop water to stop forest fires, especially out in the West and up in Canada.
Yeah, what makes these pilots so special and unique?
the skills you need to fly there, it's not only you're dealing with heavy loads of water and flame retardant, you're talking about flying in very narrow openings sometimes through smoke-filled skies where you have to rely on instruments rather than your visual cues. And as well, it's the heat causes tremendous updrafts at times. So just knowing what you have facing you, it takes a lot of attention, a lot of skill to maintain those aircraft, to maintain them in flying order, and to fly them correctly to make sure you're dropping your payload, the water or the flame retardant, exactly where it's needed.
This also marks a dozen years of Women Venture, a nod to women in aviation.
It is a nod to women in aviation, and we need more women in aviation. Right now in America, only about 6-7% of all the pilots in the U.S. are women. That's a number that has to be improved, Kate, because right now we're being told 150,000 more pilots are going to be needed over the next 15 years because of the growth of aviation and the airline and travel and so forth. Women can be a part of this. We welcome that to increase the pilot population. So what we do is bring women in aviation together and salute what they do and encourage others to join them in the aviation community, and that's coming up on Wednesday, the 24th.
How did you get roped into all of this? Do you have a personal history with aviation?
You know, sometimes right before Air Venture, it feels a little bit like one got roped into it, because with everything that you get to do.
I don't think you sleep.
Well, August is for sleep. That's what we always say.
Fair enough.
But we often, I grew up in central Wisconsin, in Wisconsin Rapids area, and I used to watch airplanes fly overhead. And I thought it'd really be cool, and then came up through the journalism side, and about 25 years ago, had the opportunity to join EA staff, and they wanted somebody who could write a little bit and liked airplanes. Well, that seemed to fit. And then it just kind of went for there, started my own pilot training, earned my own pilot certificate, and now joined this happy little group of aviators as we get together every year in Oshkosh.
What do you like to fly?
Usually it's very docile things, such as Cherokee 140s from Piper or the Cessna 172, mm-hmm. I guess what would call the family sedans of recreational aviation.
And, nice.
But they're out there. I've had the opportunity to fly a couple of home-built aircraft, such as the Vans RV6, which is a little more of a sports car when you talk about airplanes, equating them to automobiles, but a lot of fun. And just to see being different types of aircraft through the years is simply amazing to see that the different technologies involved in some of the vintage aircraft and to see where the technology has gone now with the glass panels and moving maps that you see in front of you now in the cockpit is tremendous to see the technology that's involved in today's recreational aviation and where it's going in the future.
How does Oshkosh prepare for this? I mean, they'll be inundated.
It is inundated, and our community for 50 years has been so tremendous about this. We welcome people from more than 80 countries every year, and they stay in hotels for 50 miles around. Hundreds of people actually rent their homes in the Oshkosh area, which bring people into town. The University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh does a tremendous job as welcoming people to their dormitories during the summer, as does Ripon College and Marion University down in Fond du Lac. So people stay everywhere, and we have 40,000 people who camp right here on the grounds, either next to their airplanes in a tent or drive in motorhomes and campers adjacent to the flight line.
They tent next to their plane. That just sounds so fitting, right?
It is. You know, it's funny to see it that they have all this technology next to it in their airplane, and then they have a two-person pup tent right next to it with the shower towel hanging on the prop to dry during the day.
I love the visual there. So, you know, you've seen lots of things happen at Air Venture. In our last few seconds, what is your favorite memory?
Favorite memory has to be really those awe-inspiring moments when people see something they've never seen before. When Spaceship One came in 2005 and you hear 100,000 people go silent as they watch it come down, or that first night air show in 2010 as they watch something they've never seen before in the air show world at night, watching that celebration go on. Those types of moments give us great pleasure and fulfillment as we say, yeah, that was fun. People will remember that. They'll go home to their places around the world and say, you've got to go to Oshkosh to see this. You've got to get back to Wisconsin.
Well, Dick, this sounds like a really great event for you. Best of luck. I hope you can sleep in August.
We will try. We will try.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Dick Nepinski is Director of Communications for EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh, and the fly-in, the events, they get underway Monday. It is Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show, coming up with temperatures hitting the 90s this weekend across the state. We'll get some good advice from our friends over at the Wisconsin Department of Tourism about where to go to beat the heat. We'll have some fun in the process. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. On a sweltering Friday, you're with us for Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're looking at beat the heat activities we can do during this first heat wave of summer. So grab some water. Let's drop an indoor options list, some outdoor activities too. What are some of your go-to places to visit when the temperature soars? Do you head to a museum? Do you have a favorite pool or lake? What is your kid's favorite splash pad or indoor water park? We're at 800-642-1234. There's a line for you. Ann Sayers is Deputy Secretary for the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. Ann, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, let's start at some big destination that many people flock to, both in Wisconsin and from other states and countries, Wisconsin Dells. What can we do in the Dells?
What can't you do in the Dells?
Nice.
That would be a great place to head during these very hot summer days ahead of us. Everything from indoor water parks, which it's known for, the Kalahari Resorts and Conventions, they have a 920-foot lazy river in the Wisconsin Dells. And at Chula Vista, you'll find the rides that take you through waterfalls and flow through the currents, a great place to relax. And then, of course, there's a wilderness hotel and golf resort.
And so,
at the Water Dome Water Park.
And these options are both indoor and outdoor water parks. Is that right?
That's right. I mean, the Dells are known for those indoor water parks, and we enjoy them all year long as door out of state visitors. But you can be outside in the hot summer days if that's where you want to be. You have that option. Of course, there's also the Great Wolf Lodge Slaptail Pond in the Dells, and that one's really toddler friendly. It has a zero depth entry and gentle rolling waves and a 5-foot max for older kids. So that might be a good place if you're heading out with some kids.
What about beaches? What types of beaches would you recommend?
Well, we could start with a less traditional idea, and that would be the Schoolhouse Beach Park on Washington Island in Door County. So here, instead of sand, you're going to find limestone pebbles. So people spend their time building pebble castles, rock castles instead of sand. And that's kind of a fun thing to see. The pebbles are really smooth. They've been washed clean by the waves. So that's a fun and unique part of Wisconsin to check out. Of course, there's always the very popular North Beach in Racine. This is an absolute party. It was voted one of 51 great American beaches. Mm. It's along Lake Michigan, of course. It's 2,500 feet of shoreline. It's open to the public. You can swim, you can fish, you can have a picnic. And it's actually been designated a Blue Wave Beach, which is one of the first environmental certifications for beaches. And it's held that certification since 2004.
So that beach also very family friendly as well, and it's good for swimming. Would you say that it keeps the water is good for swimming?
Yes, you'll find lots of people wading in. There's also a concession stand. There's live music, and there's a Kids Cove playground. So it is a way to spend a whole afternoon or longer. You're something for everybody.
What about the chain of lakes in Eagle River?
Well, here's a fun fact about the chain of lakes in Eagle River. It is the largest inland chain of lakes in the world. There are 28 lakes in that chain, and they're all at different depths. So depending on what it is that's taking you out to the water that day, if it's going to be boating, water skiing, wakeboarding, pontoon cruising, canoeing, kayaking, fishing, you name it. There is a lake for you within the chain of lakes. So that's kind of a fun option.
And the Dells of the Eau Claire County Park in Wausau is another one you want to highlight?
This is on my to-do list. I uncovered this as I was preparing for today, and I have not been here yet. But this, now, I like geology because geology rocks, of course. And this place is amazing. It has, you have the Eau Claire River running through these geologic features, and the water is just kind of swirling. It's making these natural carved potholes and divots, and it creates this natural playground for kids and grown-ups to just find a way to cool off, layout, picnic, find a flat rock, and just enjoy a summer afternoon in Wisconsin.
Well, being with the tourism department, you kind of have that inside scoop, that inside edge. How often do you discover something new and exciting that you've never come across before?
What a fun question. It has been very fun because it is my job to discover those things and know what options we have in Wisconsin. So I would say almost every day, whether I'm following travelwisconsin.com on the website or social media, or actually able to get out and talk to some of our supporters and stakeholders in the local conventions and visitors bureaus, there's so much to discover in Wisconsin and such a variety of ways to experience Wisconsin.
We're talking with Ann Sayers. She is Deputy Secretary for the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. It is hot, and we're exploring the cooler side of Wisconsin on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. We're getting things to do indoors, some outdoor water activities as well. You can join in. What is your favorite activity in the height of summer? Where do you go to cool off and relax? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. And let's talk another really popular thing to do in Wisconsin in the summer, and that is tubing. Take us tubing.
Oh, isn't it the best?
Yeah.
Wolf River tubing. I've done that, and it is a blast. It's one of the fastest flowing rivers in the Midwest, but at the same time, it's safe enough that you can take the kids. This is in East Central Wisconsin, Shawano County. Really worth checking out. Gorgeous scenery. And then in the northwest, we have the Apple River. It's 77.5 miles long. It's a tributary of the St. Croix River, which is just a spectacular river. So outfitters in and around Somerset there will provide you rentals and transportation. So they make it really easy for you, and you just have to focus on laying on your tube and floating away and relaxing.
I love it. And so with the Wolf River, are there outfitters there as well when you dip in with your tube?
Yes, there are. You'll find plenty of options.
Let's look at boat up restaurants. This is a fun category. What did you find here?
This is what I call the old dock and dine, where you can take your boat right up to the pier, tie up, get off, and head inside or out on the patio and enjoy a dinner or a drink, get back in the boat, and head back out. So some great options for this in Wisconsin. We've really built an environment that allows for this. First one I'm going to mention is the Anchor Inn. That's out in Edgerton. This is along Lake Koshkonong. It's a local favorite for decades. It's always a party out there. And even after a fire in 2014, they are still doing great. So be sure to check it out. They have ample docking space to be able to pull right up to the patio. You head into the Mermaid Bar, where I hear you can see mermaids. There's a floating stage that features live music. It's almost every weekend during the summer. And there's indoor dining too, but it has a whole wall of windows. So you're going to be able to sit there and enjoy just gorgeous views of the water.
Take us to Sail Loft in Milwaukee.
Yes, so Sail Loft, that is a perfect spot to catch the sunset along the Milwaukee River. They have this outdoor patio. You can enjoy drinks and appetizers with a view or choose dinner from this really large menu that has lots of seafood. And then you can also enjoy like things like a Maine lobster ravioli, glass of wine, watch the waves roll by. You really can't go wrong by choosing the Sail Loft in Milwaukee.
And finally, Gordy's Boathouse Bar and Restaurant. Where is this?
Yes. Yeah, so you'll find Gordy's in Fontana. It's right on the shores of Lake Geneva. This is a bustling marina. It's kind of a must-do for boaters. You can tie up on the pier, head into the boathouse, you have a delicious meal. It's a, you know, a nautical, laid-back atmosphere, and it's known for, so fun fact, known for Sunday Bloody Mary Bar. also has a great Friday fish fry, beautiful views of the lake. And it's true, it's one of those quintessential places that you want to visit. It has those big umbrellas, Adirondack chairs, the whole nine yards.
Well, let's take a call now. Doug in Baraboo. Hey, Doug, how do you cool off? Yeah, hi.
I was going to say that I know it's close to the Dells, so it's people usually around the Dells area can jump over to Baraboo pretty quick. But the Sky High Apple Orchard would be a great place to visit. And then afterwards, going over to Devil's Lake for a swim.
Love it. So what is special about Sky High Apple Orchard? What do you love there?
I don't have any particular. I love apple orchards in general. I've traveled all over the state to different apple orchards. It happens to be closest.
And what is magical about Devil's Lake?
I would say I like the hiking around there, but you have to be extremely careful because of our humid weather. The rocks are super slippery. So anybody that does go hiking out there, you got to be careful.
Well, Anne, how about Doug's itinerary there?
That is a perfect way to put together a date. I'm thinking of other ideas, too. Fun note on Sky High, you can pick your own apples and make a plan to use them. Or if you're not culinary inclined like some people, I'm looking at me, they have great pre-made pies, too. So you can enjoy all the benefits without all of the disaster. but, yeah, there's Wollersheim Winery is right there. There's the International Crane Foundation. You could put together Circus World Museum. You could keep building out from that itinerary, and that sounds like a fantastic day.
And there are other state parks that are great for swimming. Is that right? Or is there some other ones that you could recommend?
Well, yes, and I actually would recommend looking on the DNR website. They have a great way of figuring out what's the right place for you, what's open currently and has safe conditions. But we have so many state parks in Wisconsin. There's going to be one near you or where you're headed for the weekend that's going to have a great option, whether you're bringing your dog or not. Take a look at their website and also travelwisconsin.com.
What about ice cream and custard? There's Wilson's Restaurant and Ice Cream Parlor.
Yes, Wilson's. I hope folks have been there, and if not, you absolutely have to put it on your to-do list. This is up in Ephraim in Door County. It's been located in the heart of Ephraim since 1906. There's a reason it's been there so long. It's just a classic Door County landmark. Generations have been enjoying it. It has an old-fashioned soda fountain, ice cream specialties, home-brewed root beer. They're fantastic. And then, of course, there's also the Cherry Berry Delight. Wouldn't it be Door County without cherries? And that's a crowd favorite.
Talking with Ann Sayers, she's taking us all over the state. She's Deputy Secretary for the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, helping us cool off in the height of summer. Where do you go to beat the heat? What is your favorite indoor attraction in your community? What should people check out? Outdoors as well. We're at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. Extreme heat is dangerous, but we still want a weekend destination, so we're getting indoor temperature-controlled ideas on this Wisconsin weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What are your favorite places to visit to cool off? Do you head to a museum, perhaps a cave? Do you go to the community pool? Join in with your ideas, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ann Sayers is our guide. She's Deputy Secretary for the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, and she stays with us. So, Ann, Fred called in, couldn't stay with us, but said if you want to stay cool right now, this minute, it's time to visit Cave of the Mounds. And so I think Fred is right on the money there.
Oh, I couldn't agree more because, as I mentioned, geology rocks. Cave of the Mounds is located in Blue Mounds. It's about 30 minutes west of Madison. It's a national natural landmark, and I love this story. It was discovered completely by accident in 1939. When quarry workers were blasting near the cave, and what they found was something incredibly special. It is beautiful down there. It's really safe. It's kid-friendly, and the temperature stays consistent year-round. It's about 50 degrees, so today would be a perfect day to head out there, enjoy a cool place, learn something new, fabulous gift shop. Can't recommend that one enough. Good call, Fred.
Well, let's go inside to a museum. What about the Harley-Davidson Museum in Milwaukee?
Yes, how lucky are we that we are the home of Harley-Davidson. Our museum is a perfect tribute to all that that company has given our state. It's 130,000 square feet, so you can spend a good amount of time there. It tells the stories of the people and the products, the culture and the history of Harley-Davidson. You can see the bikes, the whole history of the bikes. You can peek into the archives. Some of that has never been opened before to the public, and that is now. Or you could take a guided tour. It's behind the scenes, kind of look at things. You can grab a bite to eat at Motor. Just stroll the museum's Riverwalk or check out the Living Legend walls and plazas.
What about if you really love boats? You want to go to Manitowoc, right, for the Wisconsin Maritime Museum?
You do. The Wisconsin Maritime Museum is now one of the largest maritime museums in the Great Lakes. It is right there in Manitowoc near the downtown. You can explore the rich maritime history of Wisconsin. It has fun and exciting interactive exhibits and a unique collection of model ships, an operating steam engine, and some historic vessels. And you can even tour the World War II submarine, the USS Cobia, decked outside the museum. Something that, for me, that's a museum that sort of delights and surprises more than I expected.
Well, let's relax as much as we can here at Kohler Water Spa in Kohler. Take us to the spa.
You know, really, if it's hot or it's cold or anything in between, a spa day is something that you probably deserve. The Kohler Water Spa is actually, it's just one of 64 five-star spas in the whole world. And if you go, you will see why. It is elegant. It's classically styled. It's just that complete sanctuary for mind, body, and soul. They have a co-ed sauna, steam room, a cool plunge pool. And then, unlike any other spa in the country, they have a state-of-the-art hydro massage experience pool. I have not tried it, but it has been added to my to-do list. And it was custom designed by the Kohler's hydro experts and built exclusively for the Lodge Kohler. They also have a spectacular cafe there. It's friendly for vegetarians and vegans, too. Relaxation pools, 5 new treatment rooms. It's really quite the destination.
Well, Anne, as we start to wrap up here, you were appointed Deputy Secretary of the Tourism Department earlier this year. So what does your work look like with the department? What are you focused on?
Well, I'm very lucky to have the job of making sure folks choose Wisconsin as their travel destination, whether that's Wisconsinites here who have new things to explore and discover about their home state, or selling those opportunities to out-of-state visitors, the Chicago, Minneapolis market, or much further abroad, and even international. We have so much to offer world visitors, and maybe folks saw that we recently got a UNESCO World Heritage Site, too, actually. Those are the kinds of things that I need to make sure potential travelers are thinking about when they put together their itineraries for visiting America,
well,
Midwest, or Wisconsin.
And thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Ann Sayers is Deputy Secretary for the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here is producer Maureen McCollum with a report on a recent gathering for peace in northern Wisconsin.
Iron River is a small city of about 1,100 residents in northern Wisconsin. But around 5 times that many people recently traveled to the area to make it their temporary home. They're known as the Rainbow Family of Living Light. The loose-knit group has been meeting every year in a national forest since 1972. Daniel Kading made the trek to the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest for the height of their event earlier this month on the 4th of July.
About 20 minutes south of Iron River, cars with license plates from almost every state in the nation lined Kent Hook Lake Road within the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest. Some people traveled thousands of miles just to get to this point. It's about another hour by foot, at times in the rain, to get to the meadow. At midday, that's where hundreds joined hands in a vast circle to meditate and pray for peace. After a while, the crowd erupted into cheers and celebration. People danced and played music. They hugged one another, saying I love you to those they met. Many wore tie-dyed clothes, and some had elaborate costumes, like a rainbow-colored jester carrying a flat disco ball. A few wore nothing at all. Karen Zirk came from San Diego, California, for the 4th.
So much emotion and love that's here. We did this almost like we found a way to bring peace down to earth for at least one day.
The gathering means different things to different people, but love, peace, and unity seem to be a common thread that knit them together. Jeffrey Carpenter of Baltimore, Maryland, who goes by the rainbow name Yona, said it's a welcoming community.
So if you want to be a nudist, that's cool. If you want to be a train punk, that's cool too. If you want to be like Hare Krishna, you want to be like anything, like it's all kind of wide open. It feels like it just feels like a large, like, no judgment zone.
Feather Sherman has been helping with rainbow gatherings for years. She lives on the road in her 93 Subaru. Sherman said the gathering is significant because people need to come together and save the earth from environmental harm.
We are killing ourselves as a human species and everything else going with it. So it's vital, it's important that we come together and work for world peace and harmony and learn how to get along.
The rainbow family has to learn to live together because it has no official leaders. They rely on one another for things like food, water, or medical supplies. People can donate during dinner circles at night to help fund expenses. Sherman said some members take part in the Rainbow Family's Spring Council and Vision Council.
Those who choose to would like to counsel about, in particular, where we're going to go next year, our vision about the future, what projects people are doing, but especially for the gathering itself, maybe some critiquing about how things could go better.
Sherman said that includes things like working with the U.S. Forest Service to restore the landscape after gatherings, but some locals were skeptical of the Rainbow Family. Back in Iron River, cashier Abby Nelson at O'Brien's C-Store said some people were leery of the Rainbow Family.
I haven't seen anything bad happen. I know there's some people who are, like the police have been getting involved, and some people are being pulled over for, like, drugs and stuff. A lot of people don't want drugs coming into Iron River either. You have a great
day. Bayfield County Sheriff Paul Susanka said they had about 30 arrests, mostly misdemeanors and a couple felony drug charges. He said cooperation between federal, state, and local law enforcement helped things go smoothly.
He said our expectation isn't that people come and enjoy themselves but cause no harm to the community. And I think that's a reasonable request.
Susanka said most people went along with that. Rainbow Family members said there's always a few bad apples with any group. Karen Zirk said they always end up embracing local residents.
When they end up embracing us, no matter their political beliefs, their religious tradition, you know, when you lead with love, you win everyone over.
A spokeswoman for the U.S. Forest Service wouldn't say whether the Rainbow Family won them over, but if there's one thing they have in common, she said it's a love for the land.
WPR's Daniel Kading brought us that story about the Rainbow Family gathering in Iron River. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here in the morning show. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your ideas our way for Wisconsin Weekend to mornings@WPR.org. That's mornings@WPR.org. And we'll explore your tip for a future Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is the morning show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.